Rise Up Radio. This is Rise Up Radio, Nottingham. Rise Up Radio.
Hi, I'm Elsa, and you're listening to Rise Up Radio.
Rise Up Radio.
RiseUpRadio.wordpress.com.
This is Rise Up Radio. This is Rise Up Radio. Rise Up Radio. Rise Up Radio.
Welcome to the August edition of Rise Up Radio. I'm Joe.
I'm Jacques.
I'm Dom.
This month we're going to be talking a lot about the Sumac Garden Party.
We'll also be talking about the Forest Fields Community Centre Open Day.
And I'm going to be talking about my new show.
Okay, so first of all, we've got some music from Kamba Samba, recorded live at the Sumac Garden Party on the 20th of July.
Thank you.
kibana mona wa mu vale le ngana eye wondo shalabena emengondo yamye kana mona mona mwenye oh kana mona mona mwenye sobe jame.
Okay, that was Cambasemba, recorded live at the Sumac Garden Party. There was lots of other bands playing that day. Who else was there?
Wholesome Fish and Moonbuggy and a guy called Ali.
Yeah, but what's his stage name?
I don't know.
It's the Bonsai Project. Okay. Okay, so Jack, can you tell us a bit more about the Sumac Garden Party and what it was all about?
Yeah. Well, the Garden Party was basically a big, fun, social event that was organised to happen at the Sumac Centre in Forest Fields, Nottingham, during July, last month. And, yeah, it was about having fun, like music and, you know, festivities, enjoyment and that kind of thing, but also also talking about the issue of climate change and what we're doing about it. There were lots of stalls there. People talking about issues such as coal mining, which is now sort of threatening to spoil our countryside, but also to mine up more fossil fuels, which are going to cause more CO2 emissions, climate change, that kind of thing. I mean, the Garden Party was not like a boring kind of climate science kind of event. It was about sort of opening up the gates of a sort of a place that's active, but about sort of, I don't know, just enjoyment, and but also saying at the same time as enjoying ourselves and kind of having a go at corporations and institutions that are causing us or going to cause us a lot of problems in the near future. We're also talking about alternatives and solutions to the energy and climate problems that we're facing.
Was it a successful day?
Yeah, it was really great. It was really great, and loads of money was raised for the East Side neighbourhood, which is like a conglomeration, if that's the right word, of towns, cities, and areas in the East Side of England, who will be travelling to Kent this month for the climate camp.
I've heard that it was actually the busiest day ever at the Sumac. Can you confirm that, Dom? You were actually working that day, weren't you?
It certainly felt like one of the busiest, at least since I've been there anyway. It was lots of people from outside of the neighbourhood. It was very nice to see so many people who don't normally go to the Sumac coming in and enjoying themselves.
Oh, excellent. So a successful day all round then. I expect there was plenty of beer drunk as well, on a lighter note.
Not by me.
Yeah, so like this month's show, it's a bit stripped down, but we've got like lots of nice little bits and pieces, and like quite a few of the bits that we've got this month are stuff that happened around the garden party, and so we've got some really good music, and also I'm really looking forward to the highlights of the dog show, first Sumac dog show. Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, I heard it went pretty well. So what's coming up then?
What's coming up next?
It's a fascinating interview about straw houses.
Oh, fascinating interview about straw houses. Okay.
Doesn't your mum live in a straw bale?
My mum doesn't live in a straw house, but my cousin lives in a straw house in Whangarei in New Zealand, and she built it all by herself. There's a little bit more information here about building your own straw house.
Okay, we're somewhere in Nottingham in an allotment in a straw building, and I'm with Tim. Tim, what's this building about?
This building is a large straw bale building. As far as we know, it's Nottingham's first straw bale building, and we're building it with volunteers on this allotment as a big central building for the site, basically. It's going to be used as a kind of function room, which means if we have an activity, a workshop or an event up here, and it rains, there's enough room in here for the activity to continue inside. So that's quite a major reason for it.
And what are the reasons behind having it as a straw bale building?
Well, basically, we wanted to investigate and experiment with environmental building methods, alternative building methods. And straw is a classic environmental building material. It's an agricultural waste product almost, and it's biodegradable, it's relatively pollution-free, and it also locks carbon into the walls. It's basically grass harvested and locked and preserved into the walls. So for all that, those reasons, it's a very environmentally sound thing to use. It's also excellent insulation, so it makes the building much more efficient.
Okay. I heard earlier today that you've been making this for 2 years.
3 years now.
3 years,
yeah.
Now. Okay, and who's been involved in the making of it?
Well, it's all been volunteers, a wide range of volunteers, from, you know, kids to older people, and of different ability ranges, which is important to us because we want everyone to feel involved in the building. And we haven't just got in lots of, you know, skilled, experienced builders, which we could have done. We wanted deliberately to choose to make it accessible to people with little or no experience of anything like that, so they have a sense of ownership in the building and everyone can feel they help to contribute to the building, so it'll be more of a community space in that sense.
And these people who've helped have had chances to develop the skills to make buildings of this elsewhere.
That's right, exactly. Lots of the volunteers, regular volunteers who we've had here, could almost not cut a piece of wood straight when they started, and now they're much more confident and they're really much more confident and engaged, and they have learnt some skills through it, hopefully.
Okay. Could you give us a few more details about the actual building itself? Because I've heard things like lime rendering and other terminology that I don't recognise. Could you give us a
bit more
detail?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the walls are built of straw, like I said earlier. In the main section of the building, the straw isn't the primary load-supporting structure. There's actually timber uprights that you can't see because they're buried within the straw now, which are taking most of the weight of a roof, and the straw has only a secondary infill supporting role. In the end bit of a building, sort of like an extension we added almost, the straw does bear the whole weight of a roof. It's more load-bearing there. The extension bit of a building is built on car tyre foundations, which is another example of an eco-building technique, because it's using a waste product, a product that's actually an industrial disposal problem. It's using that as an asset rather than as a problem. This part of the building is made of, the main part of the building is made with reclaimed brick foundations, bricks left over, rescued from building sites or taken out of skips and held together with lime mortar, and the outside's all preserved with lime render as well. So that's basically the sort of the makeup of the building.
And are there still opportunities for more people to get involved, and how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, we work on this building every Thursday, and we also have activity week about once a month, particularly in the summer. So yeah, if anyone wants to come up here and get involved either on a Thursday or look out for activity weekends which are advertised on Indymedia, and come along and have a go.
Okay, that's great, thank you very much. And that was Tim, and this is Carly talking to someone about the photos being taken of the thing Tim was talking about.
Yeah, okay, so maybe you could introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Tash, I'm a local photographer here.
Cool. And we've been looking at your pictures of the straw bale building at EcoWorks, mm-hmm. and they're very interesting. I wonder what motivates you to take pictures of something like this to document it?
If people see how other people carry on, they sometimes get inspired to do things themselves. Photography is implicated in that one of the most famous examples really is the Haynes Manual for Motor Mechanics. You wouldn't possibly think of wading into an engine with a 5/8 spanner unless you had some kind of guidance, and just by putting a series of pictures with a bit of explanatory text enables you to do things that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. You could describe the thing in half a book in text and you still wouldn't have much idea of what the ruddy thing looked like, you know. So by photographing these things and just having minimal text to explain it, things become much more obvious to people, and you hope to elicit a response like, "That's easy, I could do that," is one of my motives.
So it's partly for guidance. Yeah. That's what have you been able to see the project sort of developing as you've gone on?
Yes,
through your pictures.
I mean, originally, it started out, as I understand things, I mean, it's about 3 years ago, I suppose now, as an outside building with a frame that was going to have corrugated iron nailed around it just as a storage shed. people, other folks, especially those with enviro interest, especially around eco works, took a sideways glance at this and thought, well, this is actually a decent frame within which we could fill in with straw bales and make much more of a building rather than just a property shed, which was what was originally envisaged. Basically, I mean, straw bale building is economic, it's cheap, and it's environmentally friendly, and it's a good way of insulation. But the project has grown without architects' plans, as it were. It's been made up as it's gone along, and it is one of the most suitable materials to be able to make things up as you go along, to be able to adapt to resource, to be able to recycle other materials. And basically, when you've nailed that lot together, it looks like that what you intended in the first place.
And are you interested in what happens there in the future as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, as I understand it, it's going to be a community project. That's why the community are involved. By having somewhere to meet, to have a cup of tea and piece of cake, to have gigs, to have some kind of social intercourse around the project, then is a good way of inducting people into the rest of what goes on there. Furthermore, we're supposed to have an enviro credentials between us all, and we really do want to try and evangelise this to a larger population, especially in inner city areas where most of the environmental damage is done, basically.
Mm. All right, then. So is there somewhere, well, online where you have a particular website? Or we can we'll have some links on our links page.
Yes, I mean, I've got half a dozen personal websites, but I contribute to a lot more than that. One local project is Nottinghamshire Indie Media, which is part of the Indie Media Network, global network of social concern and politics. By putting the work as it's gone along, I mean, I think I'm at stage 29 now, over 3 years. When I started this, I think I had an idea of about a 3 week or a month project. But if eight labourers were employed with building skills, the whole thing could have been done in a couple of weeks. But that's not the point. The point is to try and to grow volunteers, to feel an ownership collectively of it, and to share skill between people. So by doing as much as I have, 29 different postings now on Indie Media, I'm showing, A, the Haynes Manual style of process, how you do these things. But also I'm trying to wind people up to think they too could do that. And a third and most important possibility is, as people see it getting bigger and growing, and they get this through their newswire on Indie Media, then I hope more people are involved in the project and feel as though they can be more directly involved and learn skills that they can then apply to doing their own projects wherever it is that they come from.
Oh,
That was wholesome. It's not on. Hello? There's nothing coming through.
That's because I've got the fucking earphones. Start again.
That was Wholesome Fish, recorded live at the Sumac Garden Party. On a more serious note, there's now some information concerning the BMP's festival.
Okay, well, while everybody's still here, we've got one more person talking about really important stuff. And Rich is going to talk about the anti-fascist movement and how we're going to shut down the BMP.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Right. I know you all want to go off and party and stuff. No one wants to listen to any more boring speeches. So I'm going to try and keep this fairly short. I'm not going to bother telling you why the BNP are bad. You all know that. You know they're a load of racists and fascists. And you all know the violent connections and all the rest of it. What I want to talk about briefly, the fact the opposition to the BNP. You know, for years, the opposition, anti-fascism in this country has been about people waving placards and turning up and then selling papers and fucking off home. Over the last year or so, that started to change. In Kimberley last year, we turned up in front of one of their meetings and stopped them getting in. In Oxford, a bunch of people forced their way into the moon where David Irving and Nick Griffin were going to speak and tried to occupy the place. In Burnley, a BNP stall got turned over. What we're hoping is that the Red, White and Blue Festival is going to be like that, but bigger. I mean, there are already people from Sheffield and London and all over the country trying to come here. What we're hoping is that we can get enough people that are basically turn up and stop people getting in. Now, the police are seriously worried about this. When they applied for a licence, the police had originally said, yeah, you can have it, it's fine. At the 11th hour, they changed their mind. They're really worried about people turning up. And I'm not going to pretend this is going to be easy. The police have cancelled all leave in Derbyshire for that weekend. They're serious about this. But it ain't going to be easy. But the way we're going to get round that is having enough people there on the day. And the more people there, they're not going to be able to deal with that. So if people want to come and chat to us afterwards, let me know what's going on. Otherwise, check out the website. It's nobnpfestival.wordpress.com. And the particularly interesting thing is they've applied for another license, basically they can have some stuff, beer and stuff in a marquee. That's got a hearing at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. If anyone's going to be free, maybe come and have a chat to me. I don't know if we'll be able to organise anything, but maybe we will. But yeah, basically, the big mobilisation, the festival itself is the 15th to the 17th of August in Denby. And the big mobilisation is on the 16th. And we're going to turn up in the morning and basically try and stop them getting in. And hopefully I'll see you all there.
I had to slow down a bit. I made a mistake. Right. Give me that. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. That's good enough for me. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. That old-fashioned morphine. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. That's good enough for my grandpa. That's good enough for my grandpa. That's good enough for my grandpa. That's good enough for me. Sister, don't get a worry. Sister, don't get a worry. Sister, that's good enough for Billy Burroughs. That's good enough for Billy Burroughs. That's good enough for Billy Burroughs. That's good enough for me. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. Give me that old-fashioned morphine. Yeah. That's good enough for Isabel Everhart. That's good enough for Isabel Everhart. That's good enough for Isabel Everhart. That's good enough for me. Since the dawn, not a word. Since the dawn, not a word. Since the dawn, not a word. Cotton wool. Fashion morphine, give me that old fashion morphine, give me that old fashion morphine, and that's good enough for me.
Right, that was the Bonsai Project, again from the Garden Party. Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit about some events and music happenings that are going on later in August and hopefully beyond August. Dom, can you tell us something about the Magpie Wedding?
Yeah, Magpie Wedding will be coming over on the 21st of August, I think. It's the 21st. The 21st it is, yeah. It's a part of a band, but only the singer's coming over. She's going to play a few songs at the Sumac, and it should be really good. It's, if you like the kind of music that the Bonsai people have just played, this is a similar kind of stuff.
Okay, I've not heard of them, but maybe I'll check it out later in August. Anything else that you'd like to promote or tell us about in terms of this kind of music happening?
No, but I do think Alan wants to talk about the Helen Heavy Merry show that was played a few weeks back at the Sumac.
Yeah, I was blown away. Harry Merry, he's from Rotterdam. I'd say it's performing arts, stroke music, stroke comedy. It's probably the best gig I've ever seen, right there, live at the Sumac Centre. And we also had Dr. Coco McDonald. He played on the 25th of July, so he's pretty extrovert as well. And they're both star performers as far as I'm concerned, and there's some really good things happening at the Sumac. So just watch out for stuff. We've got Death by TV. Hopefully they'll be coming to play for us soon. And we've got a few other bands in the pipeline. I don't want to mention them now in case they turn me down, but hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more of that.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it sounds like in terms of entertainments, you know, the Sumac is maybe one of the up-and-coming places in Nottingham at the moment for...
It's certainly rising up, that's for sure.
So we're going to actually get some audio now that is from the Forest Fields Community Centre Open Day. So the Forest Fields Community Centre is on Sturton Street, and I think it was the 19th of July... And we went along to find out what was going on there. And, with our very helpful roving reporter, Louisa. Here she is.
Hi, my name's Louisa. I'm a reporter for Rise Up Radio. Hello, what's your name?
Pfizer. It's for Misha.
And what are you doing for us today?
Well, I'm doing a nail art and henna.
Right, so can you tell us how you do this and where the tradition comes from?
Well, the henna comes from Pakistan and India.
And Kashmir.
And the nail arts are all over the world.
Right, so what type of nail art are you doing?
We're doing all sorts. We've
gems?
Got, we're using gems on top. And we're doing hand massages, normal pedicures, manicures.
Right.
So, what would you like to send a message to our people?
Hi, Mom! Come down to the Pakistan Forum, Nottingham, and join in with our...
These pecans are spicy.
Multicultural.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello. And what's your name?
Ali. Hi.
Mama, that's my second name.
Ah.
So, what type of things are you doing for us today?
I'm doing face, well, Tash and I are doing face painting at Kabuda parties, and it's been really good. It's been a good day, we've enjoyed it, yeah. And I think so have the children.
Yes. So, Shek, can we do a police officer? And let's talk to our dancer. So, can you tell us what you were doing today?
My name is Dinesh Nugent.
Right.
And we was dancing today on the stage. The Forest Fields Community Centre.
Right. What school do you come from?
Brancott Park.
Brancott Park. That's where my friends are going. What kind of dance did you do today?
It was a bit of street, a bit of jazz, a bit of blues. Molly. I don't
Carnival
know.
Carnival dancing.
What dancing was that?
Carnival dancing.
Thank you. Can you tell us what your name is?
Jodah.
Jodie, what's yours?
Venetia.
What's yours?
Jamie Lee.
Did you know you're live on Rise Up Radio?
Oh my gosh.
I'm a villa.
Yeah, you are.
Hello, no, everyone. I don't even...
What is your dance group got? Can you tell us your name first?
My name's Joy.
Right. Are you the boss of the group?
Yes, I'm the troop leader.
Okay, right. So can you tell us what you were doing?
We're from Independent Street Carnival Troop. We tour all over England and we've just come here just to have a fun day today.
Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Police officer, police officer. Hello, you're live on Rise Up Radio.
Pardon?
You're live on Rise Up Radio.
Right.
So can you tell us your name first?
My name's Richard.
Right, so what are you doing here today?
I'm helping promote the Safe Neighbourhood team for Forest Fields at the Community Centre on Sturton Street.
Right, and what made you come here?
Pardon?
What made you come here?
We got invited, and we want to get invited to these sort of things so that we can promote ourselves and give people crime prevention advice, let us know who their local team is.
Okay, yeah. Thank you then. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Sturton Street Community Centre. And thank you very much. I love you all.
Okay, I think we'll all agree that was absolutely beautiful, wasn't it?
So helpful. Well,
I think she did all the work for you, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have to do anything. if you're listening, we'd like to work with you again, Louisa.
Yeah, I think she's a natural. And I think, let's have her back, shall we?
Mm.
So what are we going to do next?
Well, Dom's come in today, not only to help us out with this show, but I think he's going to tell us a little bit about some plans he's got for another Rise Up show.
Another Rise Up show?
It's as yet untitled, so if anybody comes up with a good name for me, please let me know. It's going to be a monthly show. Each show will focus on a different city around the world. I'll be talking to a number of people from that city. The first one will be in Milwaukee. The interviews we've got lined up there are with a young guy who's a musician who's very much involved in the music scene there. And he's going to be talking about the different bands that are coming out of Milwaukee at the moment. Then there's another young guy who's going to be talking about some of the activist work he's been doing there. And finally, there will be a couple of people talking about something called the Borg Project, which is a community arts-based space they have there. But basically, the month after, we'll be going to Bologna, Istanbul follows that, Wellington, Richmond, Virginia, and I believe that's all we've got lined up, but there will be more that will follow that.
Is that it?
That's it for now.
No, that sounds very exciting, I think. What do you think?
I think it sounds very exciting. Are you actually going to go to these places?
No, I'll be going to Bologna in Italy to do that one. But otherwise, it will be all conducted over telephones.
And the power of the internet. I think this is a really exciting thing.
Something we'll look out for in the future, isn't it? So.
Do you know when the first show is going to be going out?
Hopefully the first one will be the end of August, beginning of September, with the Milwaukee show.
Okay, well, we've just got a short piece now that I think Dom did for us, and it's a bit of info about what's going on in terms of resisting coal mining.
And here I am at the Shipley coal mine table, and could you tell us some more about it?
Hi, we're Knots Against New Coal. We've just a new group started up, and we're opposing open cast mining and new coal-fired power stations in Nottinghamshire. And at the moment what we're doing is we're opposing a planning application to reclaim coal from an old spoil heap at Langton Colliery, which is near Kirkby and Ashfield, just the other side of the M1 from the village of Pinkston in Derby, which is where the coal processing will take place. And they will be having 50 lorry journeys a day, 30-ton HGV lorries taking coal through a small Derbyshire village.
See, and you've got a petition here for people to come. come and sign, or is it it's a letter even?
It's a petition letter to the planners. The more people we can get opposing this application, the more likely it is that they will refuse it.
Very good. And I see you're in a particular dress, which I assume isn't your normal dress.
No, especially dressed up today. We're Border... what are we, Dave?
Border Morris men.
Border Morris men, but we've got black faces. Black faces from coal, the dirt from coal. Coal is dirty from the minute it's mined out of the ground to the minute it's burnt to make electricity. So we're dirty coal men, but we don't want coal.
Okay. And what can people do other than sign a petition to get involved in this?
People can write to the planners themselves, phone up the planners, oppose it. They don't have to sign our petition, they can do it themselves. The more the merrier. I mean, however you oppose it, we're opposing it on climate change grounds, but if you want to oppose it on the fact that it's going to be a dirty, filthy, disgusting operation producing dust and noise for the local residents and the local farm, then you can oppose it on that grounds, but we want people to oppose it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time and wish you best of luck.
Thank you.
What am I linking to? Okay, now we're going over to an interview done by Jax about Climate Camp Radio.
The Climate Camp Radio is something that's come out of the Be The Media working groups from the Climate Camp itself. And basically, what we're going to do is we are going to broadcast live twice a day from the camp itself. And we're going to be putting that out over the internet to let as many people as possible hear it, hear what's going on. It's been taken up by the Climate Camp website in the UK, Climate Camp Australia, Climate Camp North America. It's been going on to a few other issue-based sites. Some of the Rising Tide sites have taken it, and some of the coal groups, such as Leave It in the Ground, will be taking it onto their websites. So we'll be trying to appeal to an audience, an activist, maybe orientated audience, who will already be aware of the camp. But we're also expanding the listenership through contact with other community-based groups around the UK and some other radio stations, and potentially looking at going into some larger podcast communities in the States as well. So we're doing a bit of big outreach on this, but we feel that the content itself will be very worthwhile as both a document of what's happening and a nice little snap in time, as it were, of how things are.
So why would you encourage people to invest time in contributing and listening to the smaller independent media projects as opposed to sort of taking in the media from corporations and so on?
Well, as the name of the main group, let's say, suggests, Be The Media, this is an opportunity for people who are participating and are actively making the Climate Camp what it is, a chance to voice their opinions and views. It's a way of taking out an awful lot of rhetoric and reportage by actually allowing clearer messages to come out. It's also a way of, I think it would be fair to say, that certain media sources will be on the opposite side of any scale that the Climate Camp would appear to be on, and their message will be shouted out quite loud, and it's a chance for us to serve our own message back out there. And I think, as well as giving out our own message, it's kind of a solidarity thing as well. Because by reaching out to other groups, it's an opportunity, and other locations, it's an opportunity to say that this is how we're doing things. This is us saying it, and this is us displaying it by being at the Climate Camp and how we're going to run the camp itself. And so by being part of it, you're being part of the camp process, you're being part of the alternative, you're being part of a solution, and contributing to it also is an excellent learning experience in terms of picking up new skills.
So what kind of effect can you foresee the Climate Camp Radio having actually within the camp?
Well, within the camp, we will be getting involved with the different neighbourhoods. There's quite a few this year. So we're going to be roving reporters going around. We will be giving recording devices to people who are at the camp from different neighbourhoods and asking them to do reports on what's going on and what's important to them. We'll be using a phone system so that people in the field, at the front line, literally, can actually phone back and give us live interviews, can give us updates. Locally, the camp will be able to provide basic information for those who are there. It will give things about the workshops that are going on. It will discuss the issues which we're all there to discuss. It will address the things which are important to all of us who are there. We'll be discussing different themed areas, bringing different areas into question. But as opposed to being quite static in what we want to put on, we're hopefully going to allow it to be fluid enough that if we find that the camp and opinion is sliding towards one particular area, importance and something is relevant and needs to be questioned, then we would hope that we could move forward with that and actively participate in the decision-making processes and, you know, address the issues which people there and then have. This will allow us, as I said, to become part of the process rather than just looking in from the sidelines. And by we, I mean everybody, because anybody can contribute to the radio. And anybody, if they're there, should come along. And even if you're not at the camp, you can communicate with us. We need people to tell us what's going on from the outside world as well. So it's something for everybody to get involved in. It's not yet up. You've got to wait for the start of the camp itself. But there will be a Listen Now button on the front of the Climate Camp website. And once you go in, you can click on that and you'll hear, if you tune in during one of our live broadcasts, that's what you'll be listening to. If you tune in out of hours, you will get our last broadcast on a stream, a repeat stream. So there'll always be something there. But from the 3rd to the 11th, the website is the place to go. So tune in.
Okay, thanks a lot for talking to us, Brian.
No problem, you're welcome.
Cheers.
Come on, please come a big, big, big round of applause for Howard!
How are you all doing? I'm a rap poet. This piece is called Ecology. Everybody's passing the buck. It's someone else's stuff. It seems that nobody wants to pick the litter up. We're polluting the fish. Then you sell them to me. The whales can't swim like they're swimming free. It never used to be the way it is right now. Human beings were once in touch with the higher power. But then we got too big. We started building a tower, rising up into the sky at the midnight hour. Now we've severed ourselves, cut off our natural roots. No wonder everybody's suffering from swings in moods. Our kids are feeling it too. They're picking up our stress. It's a problem society must address. Unless we do it soon, we're going to seal our doom. Global warming is upon us. It's a hot ass room. It's going to feel like June, even in winter time. An attitude of apathy would be a crime. There are signs of degradation. It's all around. Because of lack of application, nations are breaking down. We're living lives of isolation in our cities and towns. It's causing mass depression. All our faces frown. Have we forgotten to walk barefoot on Mother Earth? We like to cover ourselves, but we were naked from birth. So tell me, what is life worth when we're living so fast? All we're doing is make haste in the day of our death. When we finish with this, we're populating the moon. But will we ever learn to sing a different tune? We're going to run out of room, simple geography, until we learn to respect the ecology. I think we're lazy. Vision is hazy. Look at the damage wrought by the tsunamis. We spend on armies. I think we're balmy. We should be spending that cash on the ecology. This is survival. This is survival. No more denial. The way we're treating Earth is suicidal. I think we're lazy. Vision is easy. Look at the damage wrought by the tsunamis. Everybody's acting like an ostrich, like there's nothing going on. We're living in crisis. Man's foolishness has lasted too long. We're lazy. Vision is hazy. Look at the damage wrought by the tsunamis. We spend on armies. Man, I think we're balmy. We should be spending more cash on the ecology. Trust me. My name is H.R. Rai. Thank you.
Yeah. That was quite different, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah, I like that guy's stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I thought that was quite good. What's next up?
Ooh, well, this is some highlights from...
Is this the special bit?
Yeah, this is the highlights from the first Sumac Centre Forest Fields dog show in 2008.
Excellent.
And I think, yeah, this was an event to remember, really.
The way it's going to work, we're going to call out the categories. We've got two wonderful judges over here. We've got three wonderful judges. The dogs, one at a time, are going to sit on the, for each category, sit on the podium, and they will be judged. And at the end, the judges are going to point out who wins. That's how it's going to work.
Can't see this, Helen.
Are we ready to start?
Oh, this beats any.
The first category is going to be cutest eyes.
She does have the best eyes of any dog I've ever seen, and I'm very, very proud. It's taken a lot of time to get her to this condition, but yeah, she's a winner.
Hello, so your name is? And his name is?
Mike.
And he has entered into this fine example of a dog show at the Sumac Garden Party. So, what made you decide to enter your mic?
Well, Sumac's a very open-minded place, and there's no speciesism here. So, and my husband's very—he's fluffy, got lovely long hair, floppy ears, really good bark, pretty well house trained.
The full package.
Yeah.
So, you've just come from judging the Sumac Dog Show for the Sumac Garden Party. What do you look for in a good Forest Fields dog?
Well, fundamentally, the characters one looks for in a Forest Fields canine is durability, cunning intelligence, and an all-round availability to navigate Munt.
Wonderful. And do you feel that the standards are upheld today with our lovely contestants?
Phenomenally high. Even those dogs that came from out of town showed the character and spirit that's required to survive in the friendly but sometimes rather rumbustious atmosphere that surrounds the Sumac Centre, especially on a day such as today.
Pretty much concludes our highlights package from the Sumac Garden Party and other events that happened during the month of July. I hope you've enjoyed.
If you've missed them, you've missed it.
Yeah.
But you didn't miss this show.
No, you didn't miss this show, and hopefully you got loads out of it.
Lots of information and lots of more things to come.
And our website is riseupradio.wordpress.com. Thanks for joining us, Dom. Have you enjoyed it?
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, I look forward to listening to your show.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. Cheers from all the Rise Up Radio team.
and get involved. Yeah, riseupradio@indymedia.org.
So what are we going to leave them with then?
Some drunken Irish song.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio!
Hello. Here's a song with McGinty. Tell me to go home. Have you ever had a ride? Have you ever had a ride? Have you ever had a ride on a tractor? Have you ever had a ride? Have you ever had a ride? Have you ever had a ride on a tractor? Oh, I never had a ride. I never had a ride. I never had a ride on a tractor. I never had a ride. I never had a ride. I never had a ride on a tractor. I couldn't get it in. I couldn't get it in. I couldn't get it inside out. I couldn't get it in. I couldn't get it in. I couldn't get it inside out. I never got me whole, I never got me whole, I never got me whole week's wages. I never got me whole, I never got me whole, I never got me whole week's wages. Have you ever pulled your balls, ever pulled your balls, ever pulled your balls at bingo? Ever pulled your balls, ever pulled your balls, ever pulled your balls at bingo? Oh, I didn't pull me balls, I didn't pull me balls, I didn't pull me balls at bingo. I didn't pull me balls, I didn't pull me balls, but I never got the bingo.
Riseupradio.wordpress.com